Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Because of the money that was spent on this, will that persuade the Common Council to say, look, we can't keep spending money on things, especially things like this? Will this potentially push the council to just accept the flag for what it is, because they don't want to send it back to the art board and spend more money to recommission a new flag? Right? After all of this?
The music's coming back because of what you just said. This is what we're doing at Milwaukee City Hall.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Couldn't have been just a random Wednesday or something, or an overnighter. I had the first time it rains in 2 months. Had to wash out a weekend day.
We're spoiled. We have been spoiled.
What a great run in terms of weather, but we definitely needed the rain, and we got it on Sunday. A couple of rain totals here I'll give you. Waukesha, 3 1/3 inches of rain, nearly 3 inches in West Bend. Brookfield coming in at 2.5. Whitefish Bay, almost 2. Milwaukee's rain total, so this is recorded at the airport, a little bit less than some of the others, just over 1 inch of rain in that what started Saturday evening for some and went into Sunday evening.
Just never stopped. Just rained and rained and rained.
For a while, I was facing worst-case scenario. I was playing golf with a buddy in Ozaukee County, or we were going to, and it's raining there, and it was not raining at my house in Greendale at the moment. I'm like, I can't cancel golf and then also not get the rain for the lawn. Like, that is worst case scenario.
My kid works at a golf course. He said people were coming through. He said there had to have been at least a handful of pairs that came through and golfed yesterday.
You can do it. That was me maybe 10 years ago.
Oh, my
God. They'll let us out. We'll go for it. I don't care.
Come on.
I got rain gear. Miserable.
The funniest
thing. Plus, it was cool on top of it.
Yeah, it wasn't super warm, but like, it's so funny. Now my lawn, I bet, still dry. Well, you walk out there, not really soft at all.
We are still behind. Let me get you this from TMJ4's Kristen Kershane on where we are for September.
Despite all of that rain, we're still behind for our total in Milwaukee. That rain total for September, now just over 1 inch, that still leaves us 1.3 inches. Below normal.
So for some of the folks that got the higher totals, they may be closer to where we're supposed to be for November, where we are on average, but definitely still some ground to make up. One day's not going to do it, but we'll see what the rest of the month holds in store. Just a chance of showers late tonight, a little bit of a chance tomorrow, but you heard Brendan say it's probably south of Milwaukee.
Made it easy to snuggle in and watch the game.
That was
though,
nice,
right?
Though. Good game watching weather. Right? Didn't feel guilty about not doing stuff outside or anything like that.
I felt fine, I'm sure.
6:14 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Sports up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
How'd you like to be the Tennessee Titans today? You're 0-3, and the quarterback you left on the trash heap for Green Bay to pick up for a song just came into your house looking like a world beater. And your guy, Will Levis.
Start the first couple of weeks for Levis as he goes to the air. It's intercepted. Jair Alexander high stepping for 6.
Interception returned for a touchdown. Fox Sports on the call. Eric Bold Predictions Bilstead, who made the absurd statement that Xavier McKinney would have 10 picks this season.
Levis throwing deep, and it is intercepted. Xavier McKinney, 3 interceptions in 3 games.
Yep.
So on pace for 17, I guess.
On pace for 17.
You undercut
picks.
Him.
Yes.
Packers 30-14 over the Titans. Quarterback Malik Willis in Green Bay less than a month. Chance to gloat. Green Bay, much better place than Tennessee?
I just don't have the external viewpoint of my life to say that. I just try to, you know, continue to just work. And like you say, 3 starts, that's, you know, what I was judged off, and that's what it is. And you don't really have a say-so in that. And it's a results-based league, so it's a business. So I can't really, you know, be mad at that. I got my opportunity, whether it was, you know, one of the better opportunities or not, it was an opportunity, and I'm grateful for that.
Man, on top of everything, nice guy.
Seems like a decent dude, right?
Right.
God, we did not see this coming.
No. 275 yards total offense, 1 touchdown, no interceptions for Willis. Undefeated Vikings up next for the Packers. with a noon kick at Lambeau Field. And a twofer tonight in Monday Night Football. You got one of these early start, late starts. Jaguars are at Buffalo. That's a 6:30 game. And then the Commanders are in Cincinnati to face the Bengals. That is a 7:15 kick.
So the Brewers salvaged the weekend. So they hadn't won since clinching. Lose three in a row to the Diamondbacks. They're down 8-0 in the top of the third. But they slowly chipped away, and it was a comeback of the ages.
3-2 pitch. Line drive. Base hit right center. Perkins is in. Mitchell's in. We are tied.
Yes, Rhys Hoskins with a two-run single to make it 9-9 in the eighth inning, but they weren't done. Jake Bauer.
2-2. The pitch. Chopper on the infield. Bowers is going to beat it out, and the Brewers have the lead.
So the last time...
Right time, right spot.
Yes, sir, Jeff. The last time the Brewers came back from 8 down was 1986. The last time, they've only done it once where they were down by more than that. They came back to beat the Reds down by 9. That was back in 2004. So this does not happen very often, Rhys Hoskins.
To win a game like that, kind of like we... kind of have been all year, not really out of games. You find a way to come back. You put pressure on teams, and you give yourself a chance at the end of the game. And, you know, we've come through a lot, so it's nice to come through for the boys, get us back on the right side of the win call.
Boy, they needed that. He was on the Brewers Radio Network after the game there. So here's where we stand. The Brewers still three games back of the two spot, three games behind the Phillies. They're four games behind the Dodgers. The Dodgers are the one seed at the moment. No game today. They got three with the Pirates. Then they're back home for three to finish the regular season against the Mets.
Whom they could end up talking playing, about. Yeah. Could we get end up playing in that first wild card round if that's the way things go?
They could play the D-backs. They could end up playing the Mets. So they could play, and they may even know by Saturday or Sunday that they're playing the Mets again. I mean, it's really, any of that is at play. So you have to take that in mind, too. There's some strategy about who you want to match up with, too.
I'm not interested in any of those scenarios that we just talked about.
I get it. But you want the two seed.
Three back with not enough to play. 6:19 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Milwaukee Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky. He's in the news from time to time. You see his face on TV or you hear his voice on the radio. He is not shy, and he'll admit that. No, I'm happy to answer a question or two or discuss the things that are important to it, that I feel are important to the department and to the city.
I think it's nice. I mean, he shows leadership. It's not always when he's asked.
Right.
Sometimes he has something that he feels like he needs to talk about.
Has to get in front of, right?
Right. The Northridge thing, chief among them. I mean, he drove that effort to finally get some resolution.
Frustrated with how dangerous Northridge was and how it was becoming to his firefighters. Speaking of that, so the chief was the head newsmaker for a newsmaker luncheon by the Milwaukee Press Club last week, and I was able to be on the panel, the journalist panel that got to ask him questions, and he was asked about that. He was asked about Northridge Mall, and now since that's taken care of in the sense that the city has control, they're raising the structure of what they need to raise from it, so it's safer now, it's protected, it's not just, people aren't just in there lighting on fire all the time. He was asked, okay, so where are the most dangerous buildings now, or what is the most dangerous site since Northridge is quote-unquote taken care of?
It's a whole bunch of buildings. The city's still sitting on a sizable catalog of buildings. They're working as fast as their resources allow them. I don't believe there's any ill intent in it whatsoever, but they're all over the place. Many of them are just your basic residences.
Yeah, and he said in many cases, too, they put up plaques and signs on some of these buildings, some of these structures, obviously any that are vacant, that say, like, hey, attention, second floor burned out, or second floor this, or, you know, with details on when the last time they were at this structure was, just to make sure his crews don't go in there blind, so to speak. So they do that all the time, because there's so many buildings, he says, that are still considered dangerous. Asked about youth crime, and then after he kind of gave some thoughts on what needs to happen with youth crime, I asked him, well, how does that affect you guys? You know, other than just having an opinion on how to stop youth crime, how does that affect the department? And he said, it affects us dramatically, enough where he says they're losing people, losing firefighters left and right at a higher pace than normal because of the stress and the PTSD.
You cannot expose the human brain and the psyche to this trauma over and over and over and over and over again. It's on par with wartime medics, which I always hesitate to make the comparison because I have a tremendous amount of respect for our military, but those folks go on a deployment for 6 or 9 months, and then they come home. Our folks, you're here. You're here. And you get to go home for 24 hours, and now you're back in the streets.
Yeah, so he's always worried about his guys and gals, his crews. He's worried about what they're seeing, how they're doing mentally. He says they're constantly kneeling over dead bodies, youth crime, just different issues that are affecting them every day, and they don't get to walk away from that ever. They don't get a break. They, like you said, you take your 24 hours, and then you're back in it again.
Yeah, a huge component of what firefighters do is not putting out fires. They're first responders, right?
Yep.
It's their ambulance crews out on some of these. Do you give him the business a little bit? Because he is in the news a lot.
As you know, I always...
He's good for it.
Yeah, I always wonder sometimes when people like to be or are willing to be on camera as much as they are. I'm always questioning, okay, where are they going next? Like, what's their thought process? Is there something else they're trying to do?
What are your future aspirations? Is it to remain the fire chief in the city of Milwaukee? Is it to be a chief elsewhere? Is it to look for higher office, whether politically or elsewhere? Or what are we thinking?
I'm happy to be here. I believe I'm doing good work. I believe I'm the person for the job, all those things. Political office has never really seemed like something I'd be interested in. So no is the answer to that. I really don't have any aspirations there. I never in my career, so I'm fourth generation. My great-grandfather, my grandfather, my older brother, a bunch of uncles, have all been on the Milwaukee Fire Department. So that's just... That's home.
Yeah. He said it would have to be like you offer him the most amazing house, a plane, a chopper, and all this stuff, and then maybe he'll go someplace else and work. But no, he says this is where he wants to
How refreshing
be.
Is that?
Yeah.
No, I'm just doing a really good job. I'm not trying, and that's not a stepping stone for
right.
me to be something else. Really happy being the fire chief here in the city of Milwaukee.
Yeah, and wants to make this the place.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah, there's other things, too.
Brewers still in the hunt for a first-round bye. We'll update that in sports at 6:45.
A boy abducted in Oakland, California, when he was 6 years old. He's been found alive more than 7 decades later.
In February 1951, a woman lured Luis Albino from the park where he'd been playing with his older brother, promising the Puerto Rico-born boy in Spanish that she'd buy him candy. Instead, she flew him to the East Coast, where a couple raised him as their son. Thanks to help from an online ancestry test, old photos, newspaper clippings, police, and the FBI, Luis Albino has been reunited with his family. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
Yeah, they found this guy, a father now, a grandfather, retired firefighter, Marine Corvette. He served in Vietnam. He lived on the East Coast. And he told relatives that he kind of had memories of the kidnapping and his trip across the country because he ended up all the way on the East Coast. But the adults around him never really answered his questions about it. And when you're six, you know, that's
right, it sort
young
of
enough
fades
where it kind of.
In the background, right?
Yeah. And it's not clear yet. They haven't really released details about who raised him or if it was people that the family knew. But the media was interested in speaking with Albino, and he's like, yeah, no, thank you. So he has not talked to the media about this. I think, obviously, after this long, this is an adjustment to realize you have a whole family you didn't know existed.
And what a tragedy for those parents, right? They must have passed on, you would
yep,
think,
yep.
right?
Mom died in 2005, so she never...
Never knew.
Yeah, but his brother, he got to meet his brother. His brother died 2 months after he met his brother, so at least there was a reunion there.
6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News. The art car is out of commission. It's down. We'll tell you why next. At 6:42, an update on the art car. I could not wait for Monday to come so I could share this story with you. The art car is down. So if you've been wondering why reckless driving is still happening in Milwaukee, it's probably because the art car is not out there navigating the streets, telling people not to steal cars and drive 3 times the speed limit.
Remind us. Remind us what the art car is.
Credit CBS 58 with this story. The art car, Eric, is this vehicle that the city of Milwaukee paid $88,000 to commission an artist to decorate up. It's a Ford Ranger pickup. And it's all decorated up with traffic cones or things that look like traffic cones.
Yes.
And various messages that are meant to encourage you to drive safe.
Yes, raise awareness to curb reckless driving.
$88,000. From CBS 58 News, multiple sources at City Hall told CBS 58 this week the moving city, which is actually the official name for the decorated up Ford Ranger, had broken down. Vision Zero policy director Jessica Weinberg confirmed in an email Friday afternoon the traffic awareness truck was not in service. Quote, "The moving city has a mechanical issue that is preventing it from being driven currently," Weinberg said. "Like all car owners know, vehicles need maintenance."
Well, that's true.
Guess that wasn't in the $88,000, the maintenance budget. "We are lucky to have a team of experts that can fix fire trucks, street sweepers, and also the moving city. We are investigating the repair needed and do not know the cost yet." So what's wrong with it? Lamont Westmoreland, alderman from Milwaukee, is maybe one of the only level heads, it seems, at City Hall. He's one of the only people there to openly rip this idea of the art car. Westmoreland told 58 that he reached out to DPW trying to get some answers, didn't get a response. This is what he's come up with. The Northwest Side alderman said he wasn't available for an interview, but said over the phone it was his understanding the art car broke down because its suspension system couldn't handle the weight of the art that had been welded onto it.
It's too heavy.
Loaded this thing up with all this crap. I never thought for a second, like, this might be too heavy. It's not the artist's fault. She's an artist.
No, you're right. Hey, make something.
I did the job you asked me to do.
She did what she was supposed to do. You're right.
And tomorrow we're voting on the flag.
Well, it's interesting you say that. The connection between this story and the flag story. There is one, by the way. Because of the money that was spent on this, will that persuade the common council to say, look, we can't keep spending money on things, especially things like this? Will this potentially push the council to just accept the flag for what it is? Because they don't want to send it back to the art board and spend more money to recommission a new flag. Right? After all of this?
The music's coming back because of what you just said. This is what we're doing. At Milwaukee City Hall. So the art car down for an indefinite period. I don't know. We'll report back to you.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
All right, so it had been a rough stretch for the crew ever since clinching the NL Central Division for the second year in a row. They had lost to the Diamondbacks Thursday, Friday. On Saturday, they're getting beat. Here's Bob Costas with Euchre.
Infield in. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah, they didn't have to come in on that one. They
just you could kind of hear it.
I heard it hit the wall.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So, anyway, Saturday didn't go well. Then came Sunday. And holy cow, Frankie Montes was also just getting beat up. It was only the third inning, and things didn't look well. In fact, after he gave up another home run to Suarez and made it 8-0, the boos.
And Suarez has homered his 29th of the season, and it is 8-0 Diamondbacks.
Oh, but the Brewers would chip away and do something they haven't done in decades. They came back from a 8-run deficit. Reese Hoskins tying it in the
8th. 3-2 pitch. Line drive. Base hit right center. Perkins is in. Mitchell's in. We are tied.
That made it 9-9. Then Jake Bauer.
2-2. The pitch. Chopper on the infield. Bowers is going to beat it out, and the Brewers have the lead. Right place, right time, right spot.
So they would come back to win 10-9, and boy, they needed that game. Pat Murphy getting a little frustrated at all the coasting that we seem to be doing.
When they started booing, albeit they should have, you know, they start booing, I think it woke the guys up. Like, hey, man, we have a responsibility. We have taken our foot off the gas.
Yes, he mentioned that multiple times, taking your foot off the gas. The Brewers now 3 games still behind this 2 seed. The Phillies are the 2 seed. 3 games back of them. 4 games behind the Dodgers, who are the 1. No game today. They got 3 with the Pirates, then 3 with the Mets. Mets are at home, Pirates on the road.
You know my dad, Joe Vetrano, a fatalist when it comes to our teams. And he loves them. He's a season ticket holder, right? Mm-hmm. I was praying he was not at this game. He would have lost his mind. He was at the game.
Did he stay through the end?
I texted him. I said, please tell me you stayed. And he said, quote, I'm sorry, Brewers. I didn't mean all those bad things I said in the third inning.
It was pretty rough.
Must have been electric around Joe Vetrano at the yard. Next up for the Green Bay Packers, a noon kick at Lambeau Field against the undefeated Vikings. Packers coming off a 30-14 win with their backup quarterback and guys we hadn't much heard of before running all over the place.
Second down and 15. Willis with pressure coming. Swings it to Wilson. He's got blockers in front. Wilson inside the 20. A convoy in front. Wilson all the way in for his first NFL touchdown.
Now Fox Sports on the call. Emmanuel Wilson, 35 yards receiving, including that touchdown, another 50 on the ground. 3 turnovers by the defense. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur's post-game news conference interrupted by a fire alarm.
Really happy for our guys and proud of their effort. Whatever, keep going, keep firing away. They told me they were, this city was going to burn if we came in here and won the game, so I guess it is.
By all accounts, wow. Nashville is still standing this morning, but the Titans are 0-3. Vikings, however, atop the NFC North, they're 3-0 with a 34-7 drubbing of the previously unbeaten Texans. So this sets up a huge showdown for the Pack.
It's been nonstop boat races for Minnesota, man. They're looking good.
So maybe you come out and hit them in the mouth with that defense, get a turnover early, start setting the tone. But this is a big contest. That is noon on Sunday at our house. At 6:54 on this Monday morning, the world on the brink, world leaders meeting in New York this week for the United Nations General Assembly.
You can expect a lot of traffic, and you also can expect a lot of security. And a lot of that will be coming from President Biden, of course, who is expected to arrive here in New York City this afternoon. And he will be holding meetings today with other leaders before addressing the entire assembly tomorrow morning. Notably, this is likely to be his final major appearance on the world stage, so certainly a big deal in that regard.
ABC's Lindsay Tuchman reporting there. More on President Biden's role in a moment. But we have all-out war in Eastern Europe as NATO nations fight this proxy war against Russia through Ukraine after Russia attacked Ukraine 2.5 years ago. It still drags on. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is in the U.S., will be attending these meetings with hat in hand once again, looking for more and more funding and weapons to keep this war going. Eric, he visited a munitions plant in northeast Pennsylvania Sunday where they're making some of the, literally the bullets that are going overseas.
The Ukrainian president's first stop in the United States was a visit to the U.S. Army's ammunition plant in Scranton that produces tens of thousands of artillery rounds used by Ukraine in its fight against Russia. Zelensky thanked the plant's 400 employees for their round-the-clock work in ramping up production to 40,000 rounds a month. Army officials hope to soon double that amount. The plant's production has helped Ukraine overcome a major shortage of artillery rounds as they fire thousands of rounds a day to keep up with Russian artillery. Louis Martinez, ABC News, the Pentagon.
I guess I misspoke. More than bullets, but you know, these
larger
munitions rounds. Zelensky expected to meet on the side with, and this is where things kind of get complicated, President Biden, Vice President Harris, and former President Trump all this week. So you have those meetings that are going to be taking place, and each one of them have different plans.
Boy, remember when he and Trump used to be face-to-face before, right, back during the Trump administration? That was a long time ago.
So meanwhile, Israel and Lebanon continue to escalate the Mideast conflict. You have war in Gaza. That continues. Israel still looking for the return of some 100 hostages and trying to bury Hamas once and for all. Now targeting another terrorist group, Hezbollah, to the north in Lebanon.
An Israeli military spokesman warning residents of Lebanon near the Israeli border to move now, saying strikes are coming. Over the weekend, Israel carrying out more than 300 airstrikes in southern Lebanon, while Hezbollah reportedly launched more than 100 rockets toward Israel. A Hezbollah official says the militant group has entered a new stage of open-ended warfare against Israel.
ABC's Andrea Fujii there. Then all this as President Biden will address the General Assembly of the UN tomorrow. He will take the dais not only as a lame duck president, but frankly a president that no one's listening to here in our own country anymore. It's all about VP Harris or former President Trump. All eyes looking forward to the November election and who's going to be in charge. And Vice President Harris and former President Trump have very different ideas about what should happen in Ukraine, very different ideas about Mideast peace. And so, you know, Zelensky, for his part, is going to meet with all of them.
Right. Well, and he has to. I mean, what would you do if you were Zelensky? He's got to do whatever he can.
And when does that ask end? What is the resolution? Vice President Harris has pledged sort of unending support until this thing is resolved to Ukraine. Former President Trump has said, well, I'll end it on day one. I'll find a brokered peace. We'll figure out a way to end this. I guess short of marching on Moscow and toppling them, quote-unquote winning the war for Ukraine,
right?
Isn't that ultimately where this ends? It's a difficult question to answer and address, and we are still weeks away from charting our political course in this country with the election coming up in November. 6:58 on Wisconsin's Morning News.